Apocalypse, Chapter 1, Part 2. She turned to the scientist, as he was leaning on a desk in front of a window.
Nothing about the situation gives us the notion that things are going to return to normal. It's a pandemic. No. It's worse than that. It's an apocalypse.
Celestia opened her eyes, looking towards the scientist as he hung his head.
A pandemic that has begun consuming every ounce of life on this planet, human or otherwise. The same disease that's affected people here is spreading throughout the world, like the Black Death from the 14th century on steroids.
The inventor peeked through the window's blinds, seeing the shambling bodies outside in the hallway, the numbers thinning from the earlier onslaught.
But unlike that disease, it doesn't kill its hosts. It transforms them, transmitting the disease, perpetuating itself inside the ones that it converts. Even if it's only in the hotel or the city, there's no doubt the world would suffer and things would change.
He turned away from the window, ushering to the undead outside.
Hell, I'm not even sure if these bastards even decompose. Science doesn't work, nor explain why the dead are coming back to life and eating people.
Twilight nodded in agreement. She always thought that zombies were fantasy, a thing of some pony's disturbed mind. But seeing them now and rationalizing their fundamental experience, the inventor was 100% correct when he assumed that science wouldn't be on their side. The bounty hunter stood back up, putting his hat back on his head.
I doubt that any of that shit matters now. We need to get out of the hotel. The longer we stay here, the more those things are gonna come, and we don't have enough ammo or weapons to fight an army.
He glanced towards the princesses, staring at them before facing them fully.
So, who are you four? You don't exactly look like you're related to this outbreak, so why don't we explain why four horse things just came falling out of the sky in a flash of electricity?
Celestia rose an eyebrow at being called a horse, sighing as she ushered to herself.
I suppose introductions are indeed in order. My name is Princess Celestia. I am one of the two co-rulers of the Kingdom of Equestria. The pony that you see beside me is my little sister, Princess Luna. Together, we govern our kingdom full of ponies and raise the sun and moon.
The inventor blinked before turning around.
Wait, hold up a sec. So you raise and lower the sun and moon?
Luna nodded, facing the side to show her cutie mark.
That is correct. We discovered our talent for doing such feats, and earned our cutie marks in the process. These marks on our flank show our special talents. As with mine and my sister's, you can see what the sun and moon emblems represent.
She pointed at Twilight and Cadence as the humans either had risen eyebrows or deadpan stares.
The first here is Princess Miyamori Cadenza, also known as Princess Cadence. She governs a branch of Equestria known as the Crystal Empire, and is in charge with managing and spreading the elements of love throughout our empire and our kingdom. The smallest of us is the newest princess of Equestria, Crown Princess of Friendship, Twilight Sparkle. I can assume that you'll be able to guess what her purpose is.
So, did anyone have anything on them?
What do you mean?
I mean, are we sure that we're seeing this? Have we checked? Are we sure that we all didn't really get fucked up and pass out in the broom closet at the end of our floor?
That comment actually elicited a giggle from Celestia, as she brushed her wing up his back.
If I were a hallucination, I do not think they could physically touch me. No.
He stepped away from her as she retracted her wing and closed her eyes to focus her horn to channel her magic. But something went wrong almost immediately. Not only did her horn fizzle out, but a splitting headache stopped her from the attempts just as fast as she started. Hissing, she rubbed her head as Luna came up to her side.
Sister, what is wrong? My magic. I cannot conjure it.
Twilight nodded.
That's to be expected. I saw every single last bit of it get ripped from us when we passed the barrier. The same thing happened to me when I went through the mirror to Canterlot High, though it wasn't that painful last time.
The bounty hunter gave a quizzical look as he heard them about wielding magic. Shrugging, he had figured the talking horses had to be magical as well.
It's like every little girl's dream to have one of these things after all.
Shaking his head, he put a hand on his hip.
Well, my name is Raymond. Raymond Seraph. The guy in the blue over there is my little brother, Roland.
Roland, the aforementioned engineer, waved to the four silently as the inventor stepped up next to Raymond.
Name's Nate Schmidt. Right now, that's all you need to know. I don't trust anyone who hasn't earned it, so you got a long way to go before you're all right in my eyes.
The scientist smacked Nate as he came up next to him.
Don't be an ass, you fool!
He then turned to the ponies.
I'm William Snow, a member of a big family in San Francisco. We run a company just across the bridge outside of the main city. It manufactures our chemistry, biology, and general science to any smaller business wanting to make a contract with us and give us new projects.
William looked back at the static-ruled TV, then to the girls once more.
So it seems you're stuck here with us for a while. If you want to come with us, we'll give you a safe passage.
Celestia smiled.
I thank you for the gesture, Mr. Snell, but I'm afraid our adventure leads to more than just surviving. We need to reach the mirror that sent us to this place.
A mirror?
She rolled her eyes.
That's a long and, quite frankly, emotional story that I'd rather not get into right now. In short, it has the power to jump through space and time to alter dimensions of Equestria, either in the style of your kind or my own.
She ushered a wing to Twilight.
My former student, Twilight Sparkle, has a certain map that calls for ponies to go to specific locations and solve friendship problems. The most recent play is made by summoning my sister and I, Princess Cadence, and Twilight herself, to the mirror that we used to come here.
Nate scratched the side of his head.
So what? You're here to spread joy and friendship to all who will listen? Sorry to say, Priestess, but you ain't finding no friendship here.
He picked up his shotgun, loading it with shells.
Though it may prove to be very valuable in the next few days.
Raymond slipped his pistol under his belt as he hummed.
The mirror. Something on your mind, brother?
He turned to Roland as he walked up to him, the former in thought, before voicing his concerns.
That mirror could very well be the only way out. If the world is broken and doomed this early after a pandemic hit, we may not survive here forever. Things could get even worse here, and mutations of those walking corpses aren't off the table either.
Nate, William, Roland, and Raymond all turn to Celestia, whose ears folded back in concern to what bringing them to do in terms of repercussions. She wanted to help them. She did. But if she recklessly made that decision, she could break Equestria too, or worse, spread this contagion over to her kingdom.
That cannot happen.
Biting her lip, she locked her gaze with Raymond's, standing her ground as her sister, Cadence, and Twilight were behind her.
I wish I could say that there was an easy decision or solution to your dilemma, Mr. Seraph, but as I'm sure that you've already assumed in your pondering, if there was even a sliver of a chance that this viral infestation could travel between interdimensional means, you wouldn't wish to invade otherworldly kingdoms, would you not?
Raymond's eyebrow twitched as he looked into Celestia's eyes, reading what she was conveying in her sugar-coated words. They couldn't come with her. If they did, they would risk spreading this zombieism to their kingdom on the other side. Given that they were princesses, they may very well govern not only Equestria, but have a foothold in other parts of their world as well, and thus have to look out for them first before Raymond, his brother, and his other acquaintances. Roland put a hand onto his older brother's shoulder, giving him a look that said it wouldn't be worth it to travel to this Equestria if it meant wafting off the infection onto its inhabitants. For a moment, Nate questioned whether or not the same sort of situation would apply to the princesses, but since they were magical or whatever, he doubted that it mattered in their cases. He wasn't even sure if they could get infected. Still, he didn't want a chance to bite on any of them. Every last man and woman is needed to survive this, along with a shitload of weapons and ammo. Taking a breath, he propped his leg onto the corner of a desk as he looked at everyone.
We can worry about that later. If we really are doomed to die, I might as well die doing something right before I kick the bucket. So, you four ponies know where this mirror is?
Celestia tried to conjure magic once more, but only got another headache.
Unfortunately, I cannot cast any spells to track the presence of the mirror. However, all is not lost with that objective.
Twilight nodded in agreement.
She's right. If this world doesn't have magic, then we could not function properly. However, while our horns cannot generate magic, our bodies still contain some of the magic from our world, which means, like any pony from our world, we can innately sense magic.
Raymond rose an eyebrow.
You mean like some organic metal detector for magic?
Cadence laughed at his quip of a question before nodding.
It doesn't quite work like that, but to avoid any confusion on the more direct details, you could say that.
So where's the mirror now? Is it inside the city?
Well, that depends. Where are we now?
William pointed up at the security monitors, more specifically the one that's shown the entrance.
We're in the Geary Parkway Motel in the Inner Richmond District, which is the northern section of San Francisco.
Luna hummed as she trotted around the room, trying to pick up the direction of which the strongest signal of magic was coming from.
I do not have any specifics, but if my instincts do not deceive me, I believe the source of any potential magic is due east of this current location.
East?
Nate brushed his chin before further questioning.
How far east?
It's not an accurate assumption, like I said, but I can only assume an estimate of about 20 miles.
Roland widened his eyes.
20? That's further than the shoreline. We'll have to cross the bridge over Yerba Buena Island or use the ferry, and both aren't good options if people are trying to get out of the city.
William pursed his lips, contemplating the locations that Luna could be sensing the mirror from.
The only place that I can think of that would be in the 20-mile range and be of importance is the University of California in Berkeley. It's either there or somewhere in Chinatown or uptown Oakland.
Raymond nodded. In either case, we have a big walk ahead of us, unless, of course, someone has a vehicle stored somewhere.
Nate glanced towards the wall, his eyes moving around the security lockers until one of them, halfway opened, had something shining inside. Walking over to it, he reached in and pulled out a set of car keys. Judging from the fab, it wasn't even security. It was a SWAT truck.
What the hell was the SWAT doing here?
Thinking nothing more of it, aside from a stroke of good fortune, he tossed the keys to Raymond.
Here's a ride, Ray. Don't know where the truck is, but it's something. Shit. If the keys are here, then that means the assholes who worked here didn't make it out.
William ushered to the door.
Wouldn't that mean the truck is back where we came from?
Roland grimaced, not liking where this was going.
The parking garage. Son of a bitch.
Nate held his shotgun in both hands firmly as he narrowed his eyes.
Yep, seems like we're gonna have to go back through the thick of it. Wherever we go, though, we need to stick together. Acting on our own is a certified way of getting your face eaten off.
The rest of the humans cocked their pistols, all of which loaded and ready to fire once more.
Princesses, it's best that you stay as close to us as you can at all times. If you can fight back without your magic, then remember to aim for the head. Anything else will just slow them down, but not kill them.
The four alicorns nodded back in kind, coming together with them at the door as Raymond placed his hand on the knob. Looking back at the others to make sure that they were prepared, he turned the lock and shoved the door open, discarding the barricade and quickly rushing out into the halls. Taking up the fire axe Nate threw before, he chopped the head off of a shambling undead in their path before moving forward, going towards the parking garage. However, it seemed as though Lady Luck was not on their side at the moment. The horde was still on the floor's parking lot, wandering outside an inside area before the garage itself. Ushering everyone to be quiet, he pointed to an outdoor fire escape. Moving along, the group had made their way to the staircases on the other side of the door, and ascended a few floors to evade the walking dead. Stopping about three floors down, roughly the second or third story, Nate leads the group out, aiming a shotgun down one path while William trains the pistol that he has on the other way. The princesses file out after him, and the Seraph brothers take up the rear. As they make their way down the hall towards another entrance to the parking garage, Roland quietly mumbles to the four alicorns.
Just to ensure our safety, do not, under any normal circumstances, engage the undead. Refrain from attacking when the opportunity arises, as from our prior experiences, show that they react only to sound. If you make too much noise, their eyes will glow purple and they will always know where you are. Keep an eye on their eyes and you'll be fine.
Raymond stepped up on their other side, walking carefully around some crumpled papers and tickets.
This is important, princesses. On top of their odd shifts and senses, the infected are powerful enough to break down a normal door, as you've seen in the parking garage up above. Once you get it grabbed, it will be hard to get away, so tread carefully. All right?
They nodded, as the group managed to re-enter the parking garage. Staying to the sides, they kept their footsteps and hoofsteps light, hoping that even the faintest echo won't draw any untimely attention from the beasts that lurk above and below. And then they heard the commotion of screaming. The four boys immediately grabbed the princesses, slamming their hands over their muzzles and ducking under the ledge that looked off into the city. The alicorn struggled for a moment, and then they heard the screaming again outside.
No, 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 don't bite me!
Nate, who had Luna leaned up to peek over towards the commotion, hearing plenty of the screeching of both the people and the damned souls that fell to this contagion. A group of younger folk, some even students, had alerted a fair bit of the horde that initially chased the four boys and the alicorn. Without guns or adequate weapons, they didn't even stand a chance. A horrendous crunch on a girl's ribcage made Nate close his eyes as Luna's ears folded back. Nate, sitting back down, looked at the others. Twilight and Cadence looked as if they wanted to intervene, and to an extent, so did Luna. But Celestia knew very well that they couldn't save them. She, like Raymond, braced for the horrific noises that would assault their ears.
No, no! Stop, someone! Please help!
More screaming and howling came before the silence was only met with the dead feasting on their freshly made corpses. For a time, the group of eight sat there, silent and still. Twilight wanted to scream, to call out and yell at the boys for letting those people die, but she paused. Roland's hand, which was still over her mouth, was shaking. She turned her eyes up to him, seeing a blank expression that didn't even need emotion to tell the anxiety and fear laced in his eyes. The other boys shared similar looks, but some were more nerved than others, and slowly they let go of the princesses, standing back up and looking over the rail.
Jesus.
This is getting bad.
Raymond walked by them, patting Roland's shoulder as he moved along.
Come on, let's keep moving.
Twilight and Cadence didn't budge, at least not until Luna and Celestia ushered them along with a bit of force. No matter how much they wanted to protest and intervene, they knew the elder princesses had experience with war, and moreover, sacrifice. They, on the other hand, were still fresh to their roles, and had yet to experience an all-out war. This plague may as well be their first. Descending down another level, Nate stopped the group as he peeked around a corner. We got some of the horde here. No purple eyes, though. He leaned back and motioned them to lower their noise and their pace. Go slow. They may not be able to see you without their purple eyes, but they know when someone's footsteps is off pattern. Keep yourself paced and slow. They all nodded, moving in a single file behind Nate as he slowly walked out. Keeping their steps spread out and gentle, they quietly approached and melded with the horde, swallowing their voices as several grunts, shrill hisses, and squeaks from the dead unnerved them. The boys had their guns trained on every nearby corpse coming and going, and the princesses were either tensed up or shaking like leaves. Twilight almost gave them away when a shambling body brushed past her, but she was quickly silenced when Caden stuffed a hoof in her mouth. William cringed. There was no way that they'd be able to get to the SWAT truck undetected if they kept going like this. Looking around, he spotted a brick by his foot. Picking it up, he turned himself and threw it to one of the cars off to the side, breaking the side window. A collective cry came from the small-numbered horde, and they fast walked towards the noise. They beat on the car limply, still unaware of any human or pony presences. Once they all passed them, the group was now able to move freely. Finally getting down to the ground level, it seemed as though they had a chance to get through unscathed and without having to fire a single bullet. That is, until Celestia's rump hit the side of a car's fender and set off its alarm. The echoing beeping of the alarm made the four humans go pale, especially when they heard the howling of the dead from every direction.
Oh shit!
Ah man, the clumsiness of Celestia. I'm pretty sure they're all gonna make it out alive, but it probably would have been better if there were no car alarms being set off and screwing them over. Now let's get on to our non-infected donators. Top donators: TacoCat598, Peter Coulthard, Jayton Man, Darkside, Ponyman, and Gauntlet. Zar630, Strix, Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Drake Love Dragon, Pastel Skies, Dospo, Madman Stan, Delta Omega, Jack Hedge, RuneScythe9852, Hunter Norman, Dash of Evergreen, Ronnie Dragonwolf, Tal Rasha, The Toilet Snake, Sword Brother and Mordred, Ronin Wandering, Random Person Man Guy, Easy, Skyochia, Leslie Prickett, Jordan Peterson, Crimson Kitsune 9, Lightskin, Monster Kitty, Tim Bob, Starlight Glimmer, Lightning Blitz, Squiddy Boy, David E. Sanchez, Soul Dragon, Gaggy, Trey, Shadow Drake, Joe Piercy, Hunter Mara, Alex F., Rainbow Dash, Teal'c Anderson, TV Killer, John Becker, Leon Reynolds, Raven Speedster, Zach Rakow, Mystery CU, Edgar Garcia, One Kingdom One, Nissa Rusan, Vazuri, Dyslexic Character Sheets, Just a Random Boy, Hodrick Plunkart, A Crazy Person, Ponyman365, Neapolitan, Six of Nine, Shyfire, Stamp, and Dion Basseri. Thank you all very much for watching this video, and live life to the fullest.